Sports Medicine Broadcast, brought to you by Pasadena High School. This is episode 3.1. All right, Athletic Trainers in Pasadena, ISD. Today is May 4th, 2011. We're going to be recording this series, the 3 points, whatever, over a few days as we have the athletic trainers come in during the day, before school, after school, and discuss their background, their school, their sports medicine program, so you can know about our district, about what you can do to get into these schools. So our first guest up, we have Jaime Garcia from Sam Rayburn High School. But before we can get to Jaime, we got to do our little warm-up. We're going to talk about athletic trainers. Last week, we defined what it was for you. This week, we're going to talk about some of the titles. Bill, what do you think is, you know, what your nickname is Doc, and so why do you think people call you Doc, and how do you feel about that, and is it good, is it bad?
So, well, it was a nickname. I started off with coach, but got tired of answering the questions. I guess, you know, what do you coach, and then I had to explain what an athletic trainer was, and then some kids say, why don't we just call you Doc? So I kind of didn't want Doc because that's what my trainer in college was, and we all made fun of him all the time, but you know, but Doc is the nickname because we sort of, as trainers, we doctor athletes and take care of them, not necessarily give them prescriptions, type doctor or that type, but we just take care of them, and that was an easier intro as to, you know, what you do. So I still have to explain that to people when they ask, Doc, you know, are you a doctor? I said, no, and then I have to tell them what I am. So still have to explain what an athletic trainer is.
All right, so yeah, I kind of like the nickname Doc. It's kind of cool, but it's not like you're saying Doctor, Dr. Hale. You're saying Doc, you know, just it's saying I respect what you do. I respect, you know, your knowledge, education, but I'm not trying to make you more than you are.
But if I could have a penny or a dime for every time somebody said, what's up, Doc, to me, I would, you know, retired already. So.
Nice. What's up? Yeah. With my last name, Jackson, I think it was Outcast, eh? Sorry, Miss Jackson. As many times as I've heard that song, I'd be quite rich too. Yes, yes. It's still funny every single time. I promise. Keep saying it. All right. Now, one of the things that they call me Coach Jackson. So, Coach, I'm completely okay with them saying Coach Jackson because if they say Athletic Trainer Jackson, it's really nonsense. Athletic Trainer Jackson. Athletic Trainer Jackson. I mean, I can count the seconds here on the recording and see how long it actually takes you to say Athletic Trainer Jackson versus Coach Jackson. It's probably like a whole nother extra second. Like, really, what's the point? Besides being like pompous or arrogant, saying you have to use my complete title, Athletic Trainer Jackson. I'm not just a trainer. I'm not a coach. I'm not Doc. I'm not this. You know, it's okay. I know who I am. I know what I do. So do all the kids. They know what I do. So do all the coaches. They know what I do. So, you know, I can't be Doc because there's already a Doc, and, you know, he's been here for 30 years, so I can't just, like, bump him out and say, no, I'm Doc now. But
he can have it when I leave.
So they'll call me Coach Jackson. The only bad thing is sometimes people have a negative opinion of the word coach. They say that, you know, coaches are lazy. There's a lot of coaches that work really hard. You know, several of our coaches, I see them, they're always working on something. Always, you know, they'll get here early. One of our coaches, he gets here at 5:30 to open up the gym for kids to work out, play basketball. Another one gets in here at 5:30 to take the kids over to the weight room because they don't have the athletic period. They don't get paid extra for that. They don't have to do they don't have to do that. They get here because that's what they want to do. They want to help the kids get better.
So yeah, they love kids, and that's why they do it.
Exactly. So saying coach is good because those guys bust their butt to work hard. And so being associated with that name is good. But, you know, like, there's lazy teachers. You know, we work in the school. There's some teachers that really, really just can't get it together. They're lazy. They just can't keep track of their files. And so if you say coaches are lazy, then you got to say teachers are lazy. And, you know, then you got to say parents are lazy because teachers are parents too. So, I mean, let's just all together get out of the business of grouping people together based on one single person or opinion.
Yeah, one rotten apple, you know. Don't group everybody with the one rotten one.
So. Exactly. So that's going to bring us to our next name, trainer. Now, this one's pretty cool. Doc's going to talk about this one for a second. But if you want to, you know, send us a picture when you're headed towards San Antonio, there's Trainer Hale Road. So it's Trainer Hale Road. It's on I-10, headed towards San Antonio. If you ever stop by, send us a picture in. It'd be pretty cool. We'll post it up there. You can even, you know, put your face on there with a sign, and you'll be featured on our website. You know, this is on iTunes, so and you could be famous if you just send us in this picture. So,
well, right. I did take that picture, so just so you know that my wife and I did on our honeymoon. We went to San Antonio on our honeymoon, and we stopped at that road because someone told us about it. We took pictures there, and I actually have a picture in our training room in a frame of Trainer Hale Road. And some people have kids that come in and says, is that named after you? And I said, no. Unfortunately, I think that's named after a I'm assuming, being the area is still rural area out there, that there is it's probably a horse trainer that was named Hale. I'm just guessing that it's in the rural area, so there's probably a stable or something in that area. So, and trainers that trained horses are also called trainers. And there's also personal trainers. And then if somebody gets hurt, instead of them yelling Doc or Jackson or whatever, they'll just yell Trainer. You know, they'll just yell Trainer. Like if somebody, Trainer, Trainer, Trainer. You know, that just means that's where the name Trainer, as far as I would say, comes from.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, shortening the pompousness of Athletic Trainer Jackson. We've got to get hurt. Athletic Trainer, Athletic Trainer, Trainer. You know, it's okay. We got an emergency situation, but... Again, I don't want people thinking I'm a horse trainer, I'm a personal trainer, or a dog trainer. You know, that's not what I do. I mean, I train my dog, yes, but that's not what I do as a profession. So, you know, I kind of shy away from that, unless that's just what a kid wants to call me. You know, he's being respectful. It's like saying Mr. Jackson, Coach Jackson, Doc Jackson. You know, they're not going to say that because Doc Hale. But it's just, you know, that's the kids being respectful, the students being respectful. So, you know, I just roll with it as long as I'm comfortable with what I do. So... All right, now I'm going to have to let Doc talk about this one again. It's something that kind of bothers both of us, but, you know, again, we just got to go with it. So the first name, going by only the first name, you know, say...
That would be like kids saying, Jeremy, hey, Jeremy, Jeremy, or hey, Bill, you know, because that's my real name that most people don't even know my real name. They just know me as Doc. So, but first names, I think that's an X out on that one, in my opinion. And I think Jeremy's with me on that one as far as you being a professional and you're working especially with high school kids, you're working with minors. You do want to have the approach of a professionalism, a respect that you really don't want them calling you by your first name. But to each person their own, that's their call. You know, I'm not... You know, we're not downing those in our profession that do let people call them by their first name. I guarantee, you know, colleagues, you can call each other by first names because we're adults. But when you're dealing with the minors or kids and that, you need to have the respect level. It'd be like a teacher in class, you know, all their kids calling on my, hey, Jeremy, good morning, Jeremy, good morning, Jeremy. That, you know, I guarantee the principal then the administrators would kind of frown on that. So I think first names are, unless you throw the Mr. or Miss title in front of it, then it would then be a little more respectful.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, some of them, that's they don't like, oh, I don't want people to be calling me by my last name. But I can't get down with the calling me by my first name because, you know, I don't hang out with these kids on the weekend. I don't call them, say, hey, you know, so-and-so, what are you doing? Come hang out with me. And that's what I do with my friends, my boys. I call them by their first name. I don't, you know, usually call them Mr. Webster or whatever, you know, my friends. I'd say, hey, how you doing, so-and-so. So, you know, I like to be personable, close with these kids, have a good relationship, but you got to have that distinction to me and, you know, to Bill. That's just our personal opinion. Take it or leave it, whatever you want. All right, good afternoon. We have Jaime Garcia with us on the show today. Jaime Garcia is the head athletic trainer at Sam Rayburn High School. He's also a sports medicine teacher. Pretty cool thing about the district, our district just last year passed a deal where it's a standard for the athletic trainers to be sports medicine teachers and athletic trainers instead of trying to teach a full class load of
science or math or English or history, and then trying to come after school to take care of the student trainers, their training room, their athletes, and all that stuff. So, you know, Pasadena ISD really stepped up to the plate to take care of the athletic trainers and essentially taking care of the athletes and the coaches. So he's now a sports medicine teacher. Pretty cool. He is, like I said, at Sam Rayburn High School in Pasadena ISD in Pasadena, Texas. But I must tell you, Sam Rayburn High School is the arch rival of Pasadena High School. And since Pasadena High School hosts this podcast, we kind of get to take some, you know, jabs or low blows at Jaime, and maybe he gets to retaliate, or maybe I'll just edit that part out. We'll see. But just a little bit more about Jaime. He's been a professional athletic trainer for 3 years, two of them at Sam Rayburn High School, and one of them in the Valley. And if you're not from Texas, if you don't know where the Valley is, it's down. That's the border between Texas and Mexico, and it's hot, it's dry, and it's just a different mindset from a lot of other places in the world. So, you know, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but Jaime kind of jumped ship is whenever he had a chance, because he's from the Houston area to begin with growing up and everything like that. So, but something about Jaime, he's nuts. He's running ultra marathons.
He's crazy.
Yes, all of it. This weekend coming up, he's going to the Grand Canyon. They're going to run down the Grand Canyon, run across the Grand Canyon, run back up the other side of the Grand Canyon. High five some friends, maybe, I don't know, catch a burger or something. Run back down the Grand Canyon, back across the Grand Canyon, and finally back up to their vehicles. 48 miles total distance. However, you're not thinking about the going downhill, rocks, dirt, donkeys, all this other stuff. You're not thinking about going uphill or back downhill or back uphill. So not only that, but, I mean, this is not the first time he's run that far. I think he went to, like, a 100-mile race in Colorado, and he's got some other races coming up. So, you know, talking about athletic trainers need to lead by example. Well, being healthy and fit is something Jaime's definitely leading by example, but he's a little crazy. So on that note, we're going to get to Jaime. He's going to, you know, our first topic of discussion. Jaime's quite the character. He's wanting to bust out American Idol, and maybe towards the end we'll let him do it. But first question for you, Jaime. When did you first become introduced to athletic training?
I would say around 1999, if not 2000. I was working as a personal athletic trainer at the downtown Houston YMCA. A couple of years into that, knew that wasn't what I wanted to do, and I was also in the restaurant industry too, and that was not what I wanted to do. So I just started researching online other possible professions that were close to personal training, and athletic training kind of came up as one of them, and kind of just took off from there.
So real quick, part of our intro, if we talk about names for athletic trainers. Now, you just said you're a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Personal training, like trainer, usually when we say that, that automatically becomes, oh, what gym do you work at? Oh, you train people how to be swole? So that's what you were doing, right? That's what you're personal training.
At first, yes. Okay. Yes, I was a personal trainer, yeah. I did do that. I was, I had my own little circle of clients, but it was nothing like what we do. I didn't rehab anybody. I wasn't doing modalities or anything like that. It was just mainly, you know, weightlifting, running, things like that.
All right. So pretty much you didn't see any, like, busted eyebrows, busted chin, swollen ankles or anything like that?
No, I actually did. I didn't help him, but there was a guy that was actually personal training. He had a total knee replacement. That was my first, I guess, experience with that. I mean, but I had no idea what to do. Now, if I were to meet him now with that same surgery, I would know what to do. Nope, in a heartbeat. But yeah, but then I had no clue what to do. I mean,
so you didn't know what a protocol was? And
heck no. I just told him that he needs to go to his physical therapist because I wasn't going to be liable to mess up his total knee replacement.
All right.
Okay, Jaime, what are some of the first things you learned as an athletic trainer, both when you first started and when you actually became licensed and certified?
When I first started as a student at University of Houston, the first things that were t- told me were, one, it's going to be time consuming, and two, we're going to use you as a sponge. Didn't know what that meant until I started. And sure enough, yeah, it was very time consuming. Every incoming new student athletic trainer is supposed to work football. However, I worked track and field, which is just like another football season. I mean, we're always gone. We're always traveling. I was in the athletic training room, say, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Didn't leave till about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night. And I was learning modalities. I was learning PNF stretching. I was learning massage therapy, all in one little semester. And then trying to carry my course load of 12 or 15 hours or whatever it is that I was taking. So, yeah, I understood that it's not for everybody. And I did, and then on top of that, you know, working with different personalities, not only the head athletic trainer, but his assistants and the other grad students that were way ahead of me and expecting, you know, me to, you know, step up, as you would say, as a student. So, yeah, it was difficult.
So how much has changed now? Now you're just getting paid instead of paying to work those hours, right? Pretty much, get to school about 6:30, 6:45, and sometimes you don't even leave till like 10 or 11 because of games. But in general, you leave sometime around 5, huh?
Very true, yes. Is it different besides getting paid for it? Yeah, it is different. No, actually, it's still the same. You know, working with different personalities, you got your head coach, you got principals, you have your coworker or your assistant, you have the different personalities as far as the student athletic athletes and the student athletic trainers. So it's still you still get the same, just a bit. So,
all right. So you mentioned U of H. All right. So tell me a little bit about U of H. Would you recommend a student trainer to go there? I mean, you know, you got to support the alma mater and all, so.
It depends. I would say it depends if the person, the student wants to be, once when it is explained to them, if they want to be at an accredited university or college, or if they just want to go somewhere just to get their foot into the door. Yes, I would definitely recommend U of H because their staff is good. I mean, it's great. I mean, you have Mr. O'Shea, who's the head athletic trainer, the assistant, John Houston. They're a great bunch of guys to work with. But again, if they want to go to an accredited, meaning to get certified as an athletic trainer, I'd recommend another university, of course. But yeah, U of H is not a bad deal because you definitely get the hands-on experience, which is what some athletic trainers nowadays are lacking.
Saying if you went like, which I understand most accredited schools, like your first year as an accredited school, you can't really do anything.
Yeah, for example, as a grad student at Stephen F. Austin, our first year, we couldn't do a thing. We couldn't touch an athlete. At most, not minimal, at most that we could do was an apply an ice bag, which for me was great because I had 3 years of undergrad work at U of H where I was doing not only – I was doing everything, coolers, ice bags, cleaning up the field. So my first year in grad school, I was like,
like a vacation.
It was a vacation. I was like, oh yeah, let the other guys do it. I don't mind.
So then you couldn't, even as a first year in the accredited, you couldn't even fill up a cooler?
Coolers, yeah. But our undergrad there, we had an army, so they did most of the work.
So they had their grunts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had the undergrads to do the grunt work. Okay. Okay, here we go. Have you had any other jobs? Well, you've already talked about personal training or careers. You know, if so, what made you switch to this one? I think you've pretty much talked about that. So.
Well, the other job, I mean, I've had odd jobs, yes. My first year of college, I was a waiter and a manager at a restaurant in downtown Houston. And that wasn't, I wasn't going to do that because that's another long, long career. If not, that's just something that just beats you up. Then
so
personal
they basically they kind of pushed you away from working in restaurants.
And I think what also got me into the athletic training part is because, I mean, I wasn't a high school athlete, but the sport that I did participate in for, I guess, to the time I could walk to about age 26, 25 was Taekwondo. So I was always into that, you know, stretching and things like that. So competing was pretty fun. So that's what kind of made me get into athletic training. And, you know, I wanted to be able to help rehab athletes, if not, or make them better after injury. So.
Okay. Now, real quick, I got to throw this in. Now, your coworker over there, she mentioned, I'm not sure if this was true, she was just ragging on your wife. She said when you were in high school, you were one of those skater emo kids, you know, like with your hair over, half over your eyes. Is that true, Jaime?
Actually, emo is...
you were like the older brother.
No. Emo is a new term I learned. That wasn't around when I was in high school. I mean, I grew up... I was born in 76, so, I mean, I grew up through the 80s and all the way through the 90s, of course. But, yeah, I never heard of that. So that term I actually learned last year. No, I was not one of those guys, but I did skate. My best friend and I and a whole bunch of groups from group of guys from junior high picked up skating like around 88,
yeah,
87, which was – and actually skating was pretty much dying down because that started back in late 70s. And, yeah, I started skating. But no, I did. I had long hair, but I chopped that off quick.
So were you? Did you get into rollerblading? Were you doing the rollerblading during that time? And
I'm gonna have to confess. Yes, I had.
I bought
a pair of rollerblades. I tried it out for maybe a year.
And doing it to music and everything, you know, doing the dancing, you know, and the rollerblading. And
No. I didn't do that. But I did give. I tried my hand at rollerblading, and it wasn't for me. I didn't like it. I liked being on a board better than. On roller skates.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, maybe from Rayburn that you might have been a little more like, you know, doing the rollerblading skills. You know?
No. Those kids over there are just getting now onto skateboarding. So
those of you that are listening to this that like skateboarding, there is hope. There's hope. You can still be like me, Doc, or Jaime.
Yeah.
All right. So, Jaime, you talked about being in the Valley, and now you're in Pasadena. It's, you know, I wanted to kind of find out the beginning of your job was like and how it's changed since now. So without, you know, too much detail about the differences or too much, you know, trash talking about the Valley, how are some of the things different from your first year as a professional and right now, like your current situation?
Things that are different are that, well, one, the Valley, I don't think, and I'm just speaking from the school I was at, or the district I was at, actually, which is in Edinburgh, none of the athletic trainers were teachers. You didn't have to be certified as a teacher. I mean, you just covered your athletic periods and the sports, and you're pretty much done. I mean, for example, we had cross country at, you know, what, first period, which is around 7, 8 o'clock. And then we had football period, say, 12. So from 8 to 12, if your cross country was done, you could leave. You could go to the mall. You can go back home. You could go fishing, from what I understand. you can go to, I mean, South Padre is only about 2 hours away. You can do that if you wanted to. Here,
you could go surfing and then come back.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, you could. I mean, for example, sometimes I wouldn't come in till 12, and that was great.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, that's what they did down there. And the difference between here is that, you know, you're looked at as a teacher. I mean, you guys know, Bill, you've been teaching for the past 30 years, and Jeremy, you were teaching here too, but you were. Here, yeah, we're looked at as teachers / athletic trainers, so we have to be here. So that is different. My co-working situation is far much better now than it was then. And in our athletic training room setup is far better. Even though, you know, our schools, your schools and my school is pretty much older than the other ones, but man, our athletic training room here is great. I mean, it's bigger. It is better. So, yeah, that's just the difference.
So, like, were you paid the same down in the Valley, paid better? Because from what I understand, you know, like, oh, people have always said, you know, go down to the Valley, work a couple years, you make like $70,000-$80,000 a year. You know, you can just do it for a couple years, make a bunch of money, and then come back home or something like that.
That was the word. the impression that I received about the Valley was that it was difficult to get athletic trainers down there. Maybe not older athletic trainers, say those that have been in the profession, you know, 25 plus years, but new graduating younger athletic trainers. And I understand, yes, why it is difficult, because it is a lot of nepotism, if you would.
Yeah, gotcha.
But the enticing part of it is the salary. Yeah, like, for example, I was making close to 66.
As a first-year out of
First year college. Out of grad school. That's out of grad school. That's not even out of an undergrad. I mean, if you're straight out of undergrad, man, that's crazy. I mean, yeah. You're making a lot. I mean, you can afford whatever it is that you want.
But they don't raise them up fast. In other words, like if somebody that had like 20 years experience went down there, did they?
Yeah, that I'm not sure, because everyone, believe it or not, all the athletic trainers or veterans, if you would say, they were already making well over the 70 mark. Because they had been down there for 15 plus years anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So me, when I started, I think with the stipend, it was at 66. Then they had just given us another $1,000 addition to the stipend. So I was making 67.
Yeah.
It is crazy. It is down there how they, and I understand why it is difficult.
It's hard to keep people there.
It's hard to get people there. It's hard to keep people there. And they're straight to the point. They'll let you know if you're not from the Valley or haven't been there over, you know, 10 years, you're pretty much not in their circle of trust. That was my speech from my AC.
That could be one of the reasons they have a hard time keeping them.
Yes, definitely so.
They alienate them.
Yeah.
Anybody that's not from the Valley down there.
Oh yeah, that's what it was. I mean, I have no family down there, so it was pretty much me. by myself.
All right, very cool. So if you're a rookie looking for a good paying job, ready to work hard, go down to the Valley. If you're looking for a more favorable work environment, you know, you might look somewhere different, but, you know, whatever. All right.
So, Jaime, how has the environment changed since then?
Environment as far as the profession?
Yeah.
Well, since this is only my third year doing this.
So you really don't have a lot of...
I have a lot of input as far as what the older athletic trainers...
Well, let me just ask this question. How has Rayburn changed in 2 years for you? From your first, when you first started working there until, like to say, the middle of this year?
I've tried to improve. You know, a lot of people don't like the word change because it means...
Well, let me put it this way. Yeah. How is you coming in to a position, let's say, last year... that the trainer had been there for quite a few years,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then you're brand new coming in. How has the environment changed from, let's say, the beginning of last year when you first started to now? Have you been able to, like, get your own way in?
Form your own identity.
Yeah. And then I'm not thinking you're the other trainer.
I see what you mean. For example, the gentleman that was there before me, like you said, he had been there for, I don't know how long. I know he's been there for quite a while. And he had set his own, I guess, groundwork foundation that I didn't really agree with. And I've slowly tried to improve from that. There were things that would go on as far as like pregame stuff that I didn't think should have gone on. So I've done something different. He would feed the athletes, you know, a small portion of them, you know, crackers and peanut butter or something like that. Well, I went to the home ec department and asked if they would do like a buffet type line for the pregame meal for our athletes. And that's taken off. So we're doing that now. This year I'm going to go with it again, if not change it up to make it a little bit better.
Hang on, I got to interject. Before we get, like, arrested or you guys get disqualified from all your games, those guys pay for that, right?
They do pay for it. I had to go through all right,
good. So just making sure that, you know, nothing illegal. Those guys pay for that. So yeah. Just give it to them.
I had to go. I asked I probably asked the head coach about the UIL rules, and I even researched the UIL rules. And I think I even called UIL itself to find out how not to get in trouble with that, because I know that UI is, and again, working in the high school
setting,
UIL was totally new to me. I knew nothing about UIL. So my first year and my second year, which was last year, was researching UIL rules, protocols, and policy. So yeah, all the kids, I get all the money before the week of the games. And, you know, we set up the buffet line.
Okay, well, we've made that point now that you're following UIL rules. So go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's different. I've done a lot of things that – or I'm not doing a lot of things that the other gentleman was doing in the past.
So did it take a – was it the transition period of getting your head coach to go along with this? Did it help out? I mean, did it – was it a struggle or?
No, we didn't head. We haven't headbutted. There's some things that, of course, we don't see eye to eye on.
Well, that's true.
So, what I tend to do is, you know, I'm not, when I go to his office, I don't say, hey, this is how it's going to be. I would just say, hey, let's, you know, why don't we try this? And if it doesn't work, we can try another way. You know, it's more of a suggestion rather than, I'm going to go ahead and do this today. And if you don't like it, oh well. Yeah, because that's not the way to do it. You know, yeah. You want to. So again, like I said, I want to work with whoever it is that's my superior, or even coworker, assistant, or whatnot. So yeah, I'm just gotta bend. But yeah, the whole
you
thing
gotta
is
compromise. You gotta use a little PR when you.
But you also got to know what your breaking point is, or, you know, not to bend too much.
Yeah, Bill can attest to this. This is something I've been working on when I was in college. Like I was pretty just like straightforward, and like I would say what I thought, and so it kind of carried over. And as a professional, I was like, well, you know, this is how I'm doing it, because, you know, I was kind of always just taking care of myself, so I was really just looking out for myself. But I've learned it's better just to say, hey, can we do it this way, instead of, hey, I'm doing it this way, I don't care what you say. Well, that guy's kind of my boss, I kind of have to work with him, you know. You kind of got to improve relations, and, you know, if you're a jerk, then that's what you're going to get back. So it's funny that you say you've kind of learned it, or you're working that way.
Like you were saying about the college setting, you know, you're pretty much on your own. You know, they give you your sport after your first year, and then you can do whatever it is that you want. It's within reason and within.
You still have to work with that.
Yeah, within protocol and all that stuff. Because, and here's another example that I learned. I did an internship with the Buffalo Bills like in 2003, 2004. And that staff blew my mind. You know, coming from Texas, and, you know, the yes sir, no sir thing, you know, that's just how it is down here, you know. When I went up there, you know, upstate New York, and I'm doing yes sir, no sir, one of the assistants there, you know, using profanity, of course, no, don't call me yes sir, no sir. I get paid for a living. You call me by my first name. I'm like, okay. You know, and then when they would come in the morning, we'd check in the athletic training room at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning to get ready for 2 days. You know, they're in there, you know, throwing profanity like it's just no problem. I'm like, oh, you can cuss in the training room? I didn't know that. Because, you know, Mr. O'Shea at U of H, there is no cussing allowed. Yeah. I don't care if you're a staff or a student athletic trainer, especially an athlete.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a culture shock that way. So, yeah, I kind of got all the best of both worlds. Got the college-level experience.
That's when I came to work here at Pasadena, interviewed with the coaches, and they saw my resume saying I was FCA, you know.
Oh, okay.
Fellowship Christian Athletes in college, and they were like, we're going to have to teach this young boy how to cuss.
Yeah.
And that's the way they were talking. But that was back in, you know, before you two were born, so.
True. It's actually literally true.
Was electricity around?
No. You were.
You might have been just born.
You were a toddler. Yeah, you were born.
You think you're 1 year older than me.
But, I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's the different experience I've had.
That's a big setting now. Yeah. You know? Back then it was cussing. It was okay. And
chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Whiskey.
On the field. Yeah, chewing tobacco on the field. Yeah,
whiskey in the drawers.
Okay. But Nowadays, a little more, you know, no tobacco on.
It's restricted,
it's
yes.
It's restricted, yeah.
It's PG.
All right, so we got a pretty good idea about Jaime and his background. We're going to kick it a little bit directly to his school and his sports medicine program there. They teach students, high school students, how to do what we do as professionals, where they can tape up an athlete, where they can provide first aid, CPR, AED. I believe all of theirs are trained and certified just as ours are here. And then they also teach them to begin to look at injuries and evaluate and, you know, give a real rough, say, hey, doc, this is what I think, or hey, you know, Jaime or Mr. Garcia, this is what I think, you know, what do you think? And then, you know, we go in there, reaffirm and check them out and everything like that. So going directly to the sports medicine program, how many kids do you have right now in your sports medicine program, and what's the total number that you would allow, the max number?
In the sports medicine class, I believe we have about 16, 17 students. Three of those students are they belong to our student athletic training staff. Student athletic trainers, we have this past year we had about 10 to 13 because we actually got a lot of athletes that wanted to help out and learn as well. So we started out with maybe 8. And then we recruited another 6 or so. But some of those were seniors, so we're losing about 5 of those guys.
All right, so we got like somewhere 10 to 15 currently.
Yeah. What do we put a cap? Do we put a cap on? Well, right now we haven't had that trouble yet. So right now, and it's we don't take everyone. We use, you know, spring ball, like what we're going through now, and 2-a-days to kind of, I don't want to say that weed them out, but that's exactly what we're doing because, I mean, that's what was done to me when I was at U of H. So, yeah, you know, hey, it's hot. And if you make it through 2-a-days, I mean, you're going to make it through the whole year.
So do you do an interview process or?
Yeah, we have an application. And we give them our brochure and an application. And, you know, we also let them know, you know, you need to talk to mom and dad about it. And if they have any questions, they can always come up here. If not, call us to get a better idea of what it is that we do and how long it is that you're going to be after school. Because, you know, like Jeremy said earlier, I mean, we'll be from 3 to, well, you know, if it's game day, shoot, 11:30, 10 o'clock, depending if we're traveling from here to, say, Deer Park or LaPorte, yeah, or something like that.
All right, so which brings us exactly to our next thing. After school requirements, do you have, say you have 10 kids, do you have those 10 kids stay every day, Monday through Thursday for football practice, or do you say, you know, we have 3 kids stay every day, so you only work like one day a week, or?
If we had that many kids, yeah, we would split them up that way, because I know that I've come to you guys for advice, if not insight, about how to deal with that if that ever comes to our campus, because I know y'all have pretty much an army of student athletic trainers from time to time.
Yeah, kind of year.
I like the way y'all you know, kind of schedule it out. Y'all rotate them through, but yeah, I mean, I don't have them hang around after school once practice is done, because that's what was done to me. And we, you know, why stay in the athletic training room if you don't need to be? So as soon as I know, you know, they're done with one field, I have, say, 5 of them go break down that field. Once they're done, they clean up. We have a little roster of what they have to clean up. They mark it off, date it, sign it, initial it, and they go home while the other 5 stay and pick up the rest. And then, again, we rotate the next day. Well, this group left early, so the other group's going to leave early. You stay late. Something like that.
Sounds like a pretty good plan, kind of rotating, giving you a little bit of time off, and then just working.
Yeah.
So, all right. And if somebody's listening to this, interested more about being a student athletic trainer at your program, where can they find out more information?
Well, most of right now, it's all been word of mouth through our current student athletic trainers. And last year I advertised it on our school, is it TV channel, the Rayburn channel,
or, right. Okay.
I forgot what it's called, do that, and they play that every 5th period every day for the whole period. We also have fundraisers. like a annual barbecue or anything like that, we'll advertise it through there as well, you know. And then again, we have a fair for incoming freshmen. We have a little spot table. We have a big poster board and everything. We put out all our equipment, well, some of our equipment, and we have two students sit there and pass out brochures and talk about the organization.
Yeah, we did that too. We had quite a few kids grab flyers and actually fill out our online application. So I think that freshman welcome, not welcome days, whatever they call it. I think that's a pretty cool way to get those kids when they first come in. So, all right. And staying after school, it's hot. You're just sweaty. You know, sometimes you're just sitting there or you're working hard. Why, in one sentence, what are you going to tell a kid in one sentence to convince them to stay after school, working for free, possibly just to earn a letter jacket? I mean, well, give me one sentence why they're going to stay.
You mean have one sentence to get them to stay?
Yeah, one sentence to say, all right, this is the big catchphrase. This is, all right, dude, this is it. This is the reason why. Right here, are you ready? Just my one sentence. All right, what you got for me?
Because I'm there.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's it right there. You heard
it. That would be my humorous sentence. On a serious note, I really don't have one because, you know, it's hard to describe what it is that we do. And it's very hard to recruit for what we do. You know, I'm a tell-show type of person, tell-show do. So I would just have them, you know, come out and experience for themselves because, you know, like they say, a picture's worth a thousand words. You can sit here and think of a sentence, but I would just say, hey, come out, try it. And if the experience tells you that's what you want to do, then, you know, we'll see you tomorrow. If not, thank you for coming out. You know, if you ever have any questions, you know, we're not going to shut the door to them. But, you know, I'd rather have them experience than try to tell them what to do, how it is.
So your sentence might be, come out and give it a shot. If you like it, good. If you don't, hasta luego.
Yeah, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, sweet. I like that. And that's kind of what I would tell our kids, too. Hey, you know, come out, just give it a shot. Mm-hmm. See if you like it and see if we like you. So, you know, there's only one way to know what we do, and that's come give it a shot. All right, so we're going to have to bring it towards a close here. Is there anything else you want to share? You know, maybe you want to try and take a shot at PHS. I know you don't have the long-standing Rayburn history there, but, you know, Pasadena's been around since 1924. We got a lot to stand on. Anything else you'd like to share about your
1924?
Program?
1924? Wow. Yep. So that's how long you've been here, Bill?
No, that's how long the school's been.
anything else I'd like to no. See, my thing is, you know, I dig the rivalries, but, you know, that's between the schools, not between us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're out there. I mean, so my whole deal is I like who I work with, you know, Dobie, Pasadena, Pasadena Memorial, Southeastern. So, yeah, that's what I'm about. I'm about working with you guys. So it's cool.
Very cool. And we are definitely pleased to have you over at Rayburn. We enjoyed working with you. So
enjoyed going on a field trip.
Yeah, that was wicked cool. Yeah.
So, all right. Before we close it out, we got a little bit of sponsorship. It's not really like paid, but these are people that have helped us out, have done stuff for us. So we're going to mention Donors Choose. Bill, were you going to?
Yeah. Yeah, you can check out, this will be for the teachers and trainers and whatever to check out, is www.donorschoose.org. It's a great place to let people know what you need and get their support and involvement. It is open to pretty much all teachers, so that would be athletic trainers also. We've gotten some cool stuff here from that. So,
yep, so that's pretty much the reason we have this soundboard and recording equipment, and then there's a couple other things. So it's really cool. We've gotten several different things, so check it out if you're a teacher. And then recording artist J.J. Worthen has done some recording counseling. He's a, you know, longtime friend of mine. We used to get in trouble back in college. Called him up. He's moving to L.A. this June. So, you know, he's got a contract and all that other stuff. He came over and helped me set up some stuff. And, you know, yeah, Jeremy, you're clipping on this and this and that. So he's doing some coaching, something that he could probably charge for. But he came over and helped us out for no charge. And I've consulted with him several different times. And so... And I just want to make sure I plug him there because he's done. He's more or less donated his money through time. So JJWROTHEN.com, JJWorthen.com. He's a recording artist, and I've got a couple of his CDs. You know, I really enjoy the music, but I'm not sure if that's just because it's a buddy of mine. But our tip for the week, on our website, on our teacher website, we have, it says useful links, and it's got lots of information about rehab. It's got the textbook website. It's got the NATA, all this other stuff. So if you want to visit our website, it's www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic training. Or you can follow us on Twitter, PHS Trainers. You can call the office phone 713-740-0310, extension 01312. Or on our website, it has a contact form where you can contact Doc. It's got his beautiful picture right there. He's out there working hard. Mm. You just click on that form, fill in that. It'll email us. The application's online. Anything that you need, if you go to our website, again, it's www.pasadenaisd.org. And then from there, you can go to PHS, you can go to Sports Zone, Athletic Training, and then that's everything there. Look at our pictures, check out what we do, all this information. So thanks for joining us on the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This one was with Jaime Garcia from Sam Rayburn High School.
Thank you, Jaime, for coming.
Thank you for inviting.